Action Park Media.
You're on the ILC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the ILC podcast, powered by Action Park Media. Mike Carver here with you as the Islanders continue to roll. They beat the Devils Tuesday night 2-1 at the Rock. Fans in attendance, how great was that? That coming off the split over the weekend against the Penguins, where they got exactly what we were looking for, 3 out of 4 points, and they put the Penguins in the rear view now for a long time. Islanders are playing some really good hockey. We've got a lot to do today. We're going to take some calls. That's right, we finally opened the phones back up for the first time this season. We will do that and talk about these games and more. As always, you can get your ILC podcast gear at yesmenoutfitters.com. White Whale gear is there. Devin's got a lot of really great stuff. Make sure you're entering before every game. He's giving away blender bottles, too. He's making it all happen. So yesmenoutfitters.com for all of that. Listen to the show everywhere that you normally do. There's a link tree right on the page, on the Twitter page, on the Instagram page, everywhere. Anywhere you want to listen to the show, you can. It doesn't matter. I mean, geez, iTunes, Spotify, Google, iHeart. It doesn't matter. You can find the Odyssey podcast anywhere you want to. So, Isles beat the Devils 2-1 on Tuesday night. And how about our boy, huh? Ali Rocket. How about our boy, Ali Rocket? This is our guy right now. He scores the first goal, gives him a 1-0 lead, scored the goal. He's got points in 5 straight games. Kid is on fire right now. After having a few weeks where it looks like it was coming for him, finally the dam has been broken. Oliver Wahlstrom is scoring goals at the kind of clip that you like to see from a winger. 20 years old. The potential is limitless here. I love it. I love that Trotz has given him some leeway, given him trust even after the bonehead penalty on Saturday night. And he is starting to come into his own and maybe filling that void of what the Islanders have been missing for a long time, a winger who can put the puck in the net at any time. He's made their power play better. I mean, geez, how great was that? Listening to Brendan and Butch, where they put the graphic on the screen, what was it, 40% best in the league in February? Now, they don't get any chances. They never get any chances, but the Islander power play is turned around, and they have a couple of units that can do it whenever they are on the ice, and Oliver Wahlstrom is a huge part of that. So he had the first goal. Anders Lee had the second. He's on pace for, what, 25 goals? And he's having a great year. Captain's been outstanding. Really good. He scored a lot of big goals, gave him the 2-0 lead. Unfortunately, Varley lost that shutout with 12 seconds to go. Very unfortunate. As the Islanders almost got another shutout this year. They've got a bunch of them. They've been so good defensively, as we know every year. That's the style they want to play. I mean, you look at games like Sunday night against the Penguins, Tuesday night against the Devils. It's the Islander hockey that you've known to love from Barry Trotz over the last couple of years. And let's be fair, I mean, that game Tuesday night was an absolute snoozer for 2 periods. Almost unwatchable. That's how boring it was. But the Islanders held back from a little push from the Devils in that second period. Nobody did anything in the first. Big push from the Devils and the refs, let's be honest, in the second period. Refs were awful. They sucked all night. The referees in that game Tuesday night were embarrassing. But the Islanders fought through that. Penalty kill has been just as good. With the power play's been getting the pub here because it's good for the first time in 5 or 6 years. But the penalty kill, 5 or 6 years, I should say 15 to 16. But the penalty kill has been equally as outstanding for this Islander club. It was in the second period against the Devils. And they get it done. So they fought off the hard charge. They come out in the third. You still have a scoreless game. And then you get the Ali Wally Wally goal. There you go. Ali Rocket. What a snipe. Not as good as that one on the power play against the Penguins, but what a snipe. And the kid can play. Lee gets you 2-0, and unfortunately, 12 seconds left, you lose the shutout. Fans were in attendance, and plenty of Isle ones. All right, I know that Devin from Yes Men and some of the mob were out there. There was a large Islander contingent at the Rock on Tuesday night. Very large. You could hear it on TV, too. You could definitely hear it. So, nice job by the Islander fans who will get into the barn in a few weeks as well. The 11th, of course, is going to be for healthcare workers. And then the 18th, you'll start to see Islander fans at the Nassau Coliseum. And I believe you're even going to see that increased in April. Up to 30%. 33%, something like that. So slowly but surely, things are starting to get back to normal, and we'll see if we can get a lot of Islander fans in the building for one last playoff run in the barn in a couple of months. We talked about the split with the Penguins over the weekend. We said 3 out of 4 points, exactly what they did. Did they outplay them on Saturday night again? Yes, they did. Did they get it done? No, they did not. But they came back and got 2 points on Sunday. You can't win every single night, but if you can, you know, situations like that, back-to-back over the weekend, I'm fine with 3 out of 4 against that team, especially the way the bad luck had hit them against them. You don't see them for a while now. They lose Crosby to COVID. Let's hope that everything works out good with the Islanders here over the next couple days. They played the Penguins over the weekend. We don't know what the Crosby COVID situation is yet, but hopefully nothing with any of the other Penguins or with any of the Islanders, and hopefully Crosby is just a a contact tracing type of thing as well. So we'll keep an eye on that over the next couple of weeks. And the White Whale with another shutout. White Whale, it's time to put him in the cage a little bit more. Barry agreed with that before the Devil game, said I do got to get him in more. Well, let's see if he plays Thursday night against the Sabres. He's definitely going to play one game this weekend. They have the split again on Saturday and Sunday. So you're going to get some more White Whale in the mix here as well, which will be good to see because I think he's earned it. He's got 2 shutouts now. Let's also be fair. The 2 shutouts that the White Whale has this year, he didn't have to do much. More in the Buffalo game, but on Sunday night against the Penguins, he basically sleptwalked in the cage. He didn't have much to do. And that's a credit to the Islanders. They've played probably their 2 best defensive games of the year, the 2 shutouts that Sorokin has. And that's okay. And that's okay. That's going to build his confidence. I mean, the guy got off to a tough start. They didn't score him any goals. Now he's not allowing any. That's perfectly fine. Going to see more of the White Whale. Think you'll see a healthy mix of these two guys. But it's the song remains the same with Varley. Playing on a Vezina level. Very hard to take him out. But you want to go back and forth for a little bit. You have a lot more back-to-backs. You could do that. Clutterbuck was back also on Tuesday night. Leo out of the lineup. I feel like that lineup on Tuesday, that's like your optimal lineup here going forward. You know? That's the thing. If everybody's healthy, you have your identity line there in the fourth, you know what you have in your top six, and I think that playing Pageau with Ollie Rocket and MDC is right now their best fit. Let's see what happens in the next couple weeks. Could a cheap option present itself that could slide into that third line? Maybe. But I think that for right now, that's their best mix, and not putting Leo in. And, God, we don't want to see Zarnik again. Ross is kind of where he is right now. I feel like they've kind of got their lineup where it should be, barring any injuries or anything crazy like that, the one that you saw Tuesday night against the New Jersey Devils. So we're going to get some fan calls. We're going to get right into it here because we have a lot. A lot of people wanted to get in. Let's take some calls. Let's get things going. We kick it off with my man TJ in Bucks County. TJ, what is up, buddy?
Not much, man. The kid has arrived. Oliver Wahlstrom is carrying Flex. And you've been on this since he's been drafted. You've been a huge Oliver Wahlstrom guy.
Yeah, I really have, TJ. I mean, this is, we've been waiting for this moment, right? I mean, to see Ollie get in there and to see him, you know what the best thing is, TJ? He's built the trust now with Trotz. You know, even after taking that bad penalty the other night against the Penguins, he's built the trust with Trotz where he's putting him out there and he's getting more comfortable in the NHL game. He's only 20 years old, but he's out there and he's got such a blast, that Ollie Rocket, that he can wind up and just fire. It's so huge for the power play. He's getting confident. You know, he was kind of snake-bitten for a while, TJ. Now the goals are starting to find him. Even that one tonight, you know, just a great shot. And now he's got goals in a couple games in a row, and he's flying now.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable that one – I'm not going to say it's only because of him, but he's turned our second power play unit into basically our number one unit. And – they're converting, I mean, 40% in February, the power play. That's come a long way from what the Islanders usually have as a power play.
You ain't kidding, man. And it's true. Like, the Islander power play, and I was saying this in the open, like, it's weird because they haven't gotten that many chances. Like, they had that 40% in February, which was the best of the NHL. But they didn't get a lot of chance. Like, you're watching these games. Like, these refs, which they suck night in, night out, they don't call any penalties. They don't give the Islanders a lot of power plays. The four they had against Penguins the other night, that was like, geez, I can't believe it. I mean, Brendan was even saying it during the game. They had a stretch where it was like one, like two or less for like 10 out of 12 games. But the best thing is, TJ, they're converting on those chances, which is enormous. And, and they didn't do that in the past. And that second unit now gives them, with him out there, gives them a weapon and makes them dangerous throughout the entire 2 minutes. And that used to not be the case.
Yeah, and you're seeing with Wahlstrom on the, you're seeing Bailey's racking up the assist in the last 2 weeks. With he's been a part of Ollie's goals on the power play, and Pajot and him, they've just been a really good unit, the power play, and it's nice to see because we're usually at the bottom of the power play.
It's a great point by you, TJ, and I thank you as always for calling, but that is so spot on. That the power play is now dangerous on both ends of the units, having them both out there and seeing that kid rip it from that circle, putting him in the OV office is just the absolute way to go. TJ, my man, thank you for calling. I'll get you again soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to more Ollie goals in the future.
Let's go. Let's now roll over to Mike in New Jersey. My man, Mikey, what's going on, bro?
Hey, Mike, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What's up?
Nothing, man. Before I start, man, I just wanted to say congratulations to you and the whole family on little Will, man. So I hope everybody's healthy, and that's, you know, an exciting time, buddy. So hopefully not having too many sleepless nights.
Listen, everything, I got to tell you, Mike, everything great so far. He sleeps, 20 hours a day. It's pretty good so far. He eats, goes to sleep for 3.5 hours, wakes up, ready to eat again, boom, right back to sleep. So things are good in the early going, a complete opposite of little Olivia, who basically, you know, she was running through a wall from the moment she was out of the womb. So things are good, Mikey. Thank
you. That's awesome, buddy. Congratulations. But thanks for having me on, dude. Listen, I'm sure I'm going to repeat a lot of things other people are saying. It's funny how over the course of a couple of years, I feel like when we used to talk 3 years ago, there was always something to complain about. it's so refreshing kind of what's going on here. Because even when the team was struggling in January, you just kind of felt like, you know, they eventually would get it turned around. They'd start playing better. And you're kind of seeing that now. And I think what I'm most excited about is I feel like they're not even playing their best hockey still. And they're just finding ways to win. And listen, I mean, they're playing good hockey, but like I feel like there's still some guys out there that just haven't really contributed the way we're used to. You know, Josh Bailey, I think he's been a kind of a disaster this whole season. He hasn't been playing well. Brock Nelson's kind of been struggling, but they're still finding ways, man. Pajot's been awesome. Wahlstrom, I'll tell you what, if this kid's going to be this good – I mean, we might have kind of struck gold with this guy, and I know it's kind of early, but he's just looked so good these last couple of games now that Barry's been playing him. So I think there's just a lot to be excited about, buddy, and I think, you know, they're tied for first now. I know a couple of teams have played less games, but you got to like what you're seeing, and, you know, hopefully this will kind of continue in the right direction here.
No, you're absolutely right, and the Wahlstrom thing, yeah, that is the hot topic right now because everybody's excited because this is – like, Mikey, this guy fits the bill – for all the things that this team has been looking for the last couple of years. Now, he's still only 20 years old. He doesn't have a lot of time yet, and he's building the trust with Trotz very slowly. But he is what we've been asking for. He is a, you know, a sniper who could sit there and just rifle away. He's got an unbelievable shot. He's got skill. He's young. He's the winger that we've been dreaming of for a long time. And he's developing here. He's getting the opportunity to play. And it's great. I'm with you on a few guys. I've been pretty critical here over the first 6 weeks of the play of the second line, and rightfully so. And I think you have started to see it turn the corner a little bit. I thought that against Pittsburgh over the weekend in both games, it was kind of like the coming out party. It was like, all right, these three guys are finally starting to show up to the party on even strength. You know, Brock Bailey and Beauvillier, they're starting to find their way. And they've done all this, Mike, without those guys basically doing anything.
Yeah, you know, I think
they've
Brock,
done nothing.
Yeah, and Brock and Bo, I think, have been better the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And it's really been Bailey, but, you know, hopefully he gets his game going. But there's just too much good stuff going on again. And Sorokin the last couple of games has been real good. And I would like to see him get a few more games. And you've said it. It's hard to take Barley out because he's playing at a Vezina level.
He is.
But Sorokin the last couple of games has been good, too. So I'm hoping, you know, and listen, Barry knows what he's doing. But, you know, as we kind of get deeper into the season, and if the team, you know, looks like, and you hope they're going to be a bona fide playoff team, you kind of start getting Volley a little bit more rest as we kind of get deep in the season, because Sorokin's showing you here that he can play, it looks like, too. And the Islanders have been playing much better in front of him, too, which I think, you know, they're a lot more confident in him now, and they're feeling good with him in the net as well.
Yeah, and look, he's going to get his opportunities now. Barry even said it before the Devil game here on Tuesday. I know that I need to play him more. He's been very good. The next two weekends, they have those straight back-to-backs again, Saturday, Sunday. So you know already he's going to play in those games, but you don't want him to play once a week. So you maybe does he now? Here's the interesting part: what does he play him Thursday against Buffalo, and then, you know, go back, then split him again Saturday, Sunday? I think he should. I think he deserves it off of his last couple. You know, Varley played very well in Jersey Tuesday night. Sorokin has the shutout already against Buffalo this year, and that team can't score. And
nah, you got to feast that on team these can't guys. Score. You got to feast on that team.
This is too
games,
important
man.
Right here. This team has scored. I saw somebody tweet. I think it was Justin Bourne tweeted tonight. They've scored 15 goals in their last 10 games. And they're about to play the best, you know, probably the best defensive team in hockey in the Islanders, who have already dominated them this year. This, for me, Mikey, this weekend, these three games, this is kind of minimum. And I usually don't go, like, this is 5 out of 6 points for me.
Yeah, you got to bury
this
him.
This is 5 out of 6 points. I don't want any screwing around. Everybody else has done it. You know, you watch the Flyers win and beat them both games last weekend. You know, the Rangers even beat them on Tuesday night. You got to take and kick this team while they're down. Their Olmark is out. They've got Hacks in the net. They're not scoring goals. You got to take advantage here and stack some points.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Bury these guys and, you know, rack up points. Get some separation. Yeah. You know, separation.
Give yourself some breathing room, so when you hit another lull like you did early in the year, that week against Washington and Philly, if you hit another week like that, you stack up the points now so that you can, you know, at least kind of weather that storm, and you'll still be in the top four, because that's all that matters here. Just being in that top four, all these teams can beat each other when we get to playoff time. The Islanders can beat any of these teams in a 7-game series. It's just about being in one of those four slots. So find your way to separate from these other teams right now.
100%. And last thing, Mike, before I go, kind of off topic a little bit, but how refreshing it was to see fans in the building today.
Wow.
Even though it's like 1,800. Yeah. It just, when they on the score and you heard some people cheering, it was just refreshing, man. And I cannot wait to get into the Coliseum. Hopefully that increases as we get closer to playoff time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the sooner things hopefully are getting more normal here, which is nice to get some fans in that building today and kind of hear that noise.
It really is. Mikey, you're spot on. It's nice to see. It's cool that there was a pretty good Islander contingent.
There was a lot of Islander fans.
That 1,800
there, yeah.
That was at the Rock mm-hmm. tonight. There was plenty of Islander fans in the building. But yes, hopefully by the time we get to the playoffs, and it'll be the last playoff run for the Barn as we know, maybe we can get 20%, 30%, you know, something like that, and try to really, you know, rock that place out one last time before they move into the big shiny new toy in the fall, which we've all been waiting a long time for. Mikey, always good to talk to you, my man. Call you again
soon.
Yeah,
same to you, Mike. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Next up, we have to head south. We head down to Jacksonville, Florida. My man Christian is there. What is up, Christian?
Mike, how you doing? How's the kids?
Great. Thank you so much for asking. Everybody is doing good. Thanks, buddy.
All right. How about this Ollie Wally?
It's amazing. It really is. He's the guy right now, and as he should be. The fans love him. He's scoring goals. The more he plays, the better he gets, the more trust he builds with Trotz. I'm loving every second of it right now, Christian. He's the guy they've been missing for years, and he's only 20.
Yeah, we've been fiending for a guy with a sick wrist shot like that. And the only thing I can say, if I can complain about anything, is I wish just a couple more minutes on the ice. I think he got something like 10 minutes tonight. And I get it, he's still green, but the kid's performing, and if he's hot, let him rock, you know what I mean?
No, it really is true, and, you know, he's been averaging like 10, 11 minutes a night, and, you know, Barry's slowly working him in. I got worried the other night when he took that bad penalty. I thought that Barry maybe would bury him a little bit, but not the case. He's kept him out there on the power play. He is now at the point, as I said the last show, he's at the point now. You cannot take him out of the lineup. You just can't. You cannot take him out of the lineup. He brings you too much jump.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's well and solidified now. And I sense a little chemistry going on with Pajot there too. And Pajot, he's another one who's just going on an absolute tear right now.
No, it's true. And you know what the thing is for Pajot is he's kind of had a bit of a revolving door on that line with him, you know, since he's been with the team, even in the bubble, and even, you know, he hasn't had a lot of consistency in terms of wingers, not like the guys in the top six have had. So for him to now have a guy that he's building some chemistry with, young guy, it's huge for Pageau, who's had a great start to the year as well. And now if they could just somehow find, you know, a third guy that can be in there with him every night, and now you've seen MDC kind of the last two. We've talked about him a lot. You know, I think he's more of a fourth line guy, but he's not hurting them. You know, this line's playing well, even with MDC out there right now. I think it's a really good mix for Pageau, who just, geez, I mean, the guy does absolutely everything for the team. It's so great to see.
Yeah, I think it was Bard, you said, called him utility knife, and it's the perfect phrase for him. And then as far as MDC, I was skeptical with his play at first. I know Barry loved the kid, but, and honestly, lately, he doesn't look too bad, Mike. I mean, I think I agree with you on the fourth line. I think he deserves to be there a little bit, but I like the kid's play so far. Honestly, everybody's playing pretty well. Dobby's looking great. Lee is leading the team in scoring, which is great for the captain. You love to see that.
Yeah, no, everybody thought, you know, Lee was kind of down last year. He's on pace to, I think, score 25 in 56 games right now, which is amazing. He has been excellent for this team. And when I say MDC is like a fourth line guy, like, I mean, like on a regular team. Now, the Islanders have kind of a different fourth line than every other team in the league. You know, they're a set group that's been together for so long, and they only really function at their highest level when the three of them are together.
Right. The identity line.
Right. And I feel like if you went league wide and you know, MDC is the kind of guy that you would plug into pretty much almost any fourth line. You know, most teams, some teams are better than, but he's that, like, that type of guy. He's a grinding type of guy that you want to put out there for 10 to 12 minutes a night. Good checking forward. He's a good defensive player. He's good in his own end of the ice, MDC.
Absolutely.
He just doesn't bring you anything offensively. And if Wahlstrom,
and if Wahlstrom
is going to bring you more offense, and that's going to in turn bring Pageau more offense, well, then you might be able to carry an MDC with them, because if those two guys are providing enough, and then you have MDC who's providing a little bit on the defensive side and in neutral ice, then you know what? That's where you start to form a really good mix, and that makes your third line a little bit stronger, and suddenly this team now becomes a three-line team that can score, and that really changes things.
Oh, absolutely. I just need Bailey and Nelson to start doing something with their lives.
Yeah, no, I know. I mentioned it to the last caller, Mikey. It's been tough with those guys. I feel like you've started to see them break out a little bit over the weekend against the Penguins. You know, Bailey Nelson and Beauvillier picking it up. And listen, they are where they are right now, basically getting nothing from those guys. So if over this next month or this next 6-week stretch, maybe they start to pick up some of the scoring and they win some of the games for them, that's going to be all the better for the Islanders, and they will start to really get things done. Christian, thank you so much for calling, my man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
And as always, we must finish things off with our man Vin in Brooklyn. Vin, how are you, buddy? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Always good to hear from the great Mike Carver of the ILC podcast, the man, the myth, the legend.
Well, I thank you for calling in, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me, buddy. Not a bad week all in all on the island, huh?
No, listen, not a bad week. I mean, let's be fair here, Vin. I mean, we're what, 6-7 weeks into the season? They've had one bad week, like one really bad week. That week with Washington and Philly was a bad week. I mean, other than that, they've been fine. Let's be fair.
No, they've been right. You know, here's the thing, you know. They're not built to dominate every game over the regular season. They're not that team. They're not the, 2000 era Red Wings that could just, you know, rip off 60 wins in a normal regular season. They're not that team.
No.
They're built like a bubble. They're built like a bubble team. But when they get in, they're a tough out because of the way they're built and the fact they play a grinding, heavy style. And to me, the most encouraging thing over the last week or so, maybe a little longer, honestly, has been most nights the best players have been Dobson, Wahlstrom, and lately Sorokin. That's what you want, you know?
No, that's exactly what you want. And we heard a lot about this team. Remember they had that dopey graphic at the start of the bubble where it was like, well, the Islanders are one of the oldest teams, in the playoffs and blah, 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 blah. But that didn't account for the fact that they did have some of these young guys that were on their way through and were ready to make a bit of an impact on this team. And you're seeing it now, especially with Wahlstrom, who a bunch of the callers have already brought up. And we've seen it with Sorokin, a couple of shutouts here. And Dobson has been outstanding. He's been very solid playing every single game now. And that is the core of the youth of this team. And there's other young guys that are a part of it, Vin. There just is.
And here's the fact that you know as well as I do, and I know we don't use tomorrow's problems as discussion today, but this team is going to need youth on cheap contracts going forward to get them out of some of the pickles they're in, right? Like, that's going to be necessary, considering we do have a highly paid bottom six. We do have D, who are a little long in the tooth. We're going to need those young kids. And there's a couple more on the way, my friend, who could still contribute.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not this year, but they're coming. And it's imperative that you keep the stockpile fresh, because you're going to need to deal some assets to get out of a contract or two, you know, maybe after the Seattle expansion draft. We both know that's coming. It's really important. It's super important that Dobson and Wahlstrom and their ilk are ready for the big minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And here's the thing with Dobson and Wahlstrom and a couple of these other guys, specifically those two guys, Vin, they had to hit on those two guys. It was so important because of what and I know you like to do this, and I don't get nuts about the cap while we're in season. Me and you had this discussion right when the season was starting. I don't care about the cap right now, but we do know that it does exist, and it is there, and it does loom over our heads. And the reason why those two guys, they had to get them right, is because you knew you were going to have a cap issue over the next couple of years where you're going to be very tight up against it, and you need guys who are making a small amount of money to be big contributors on this team, and those two guys are going to be guys who are going to be able to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, the age graphic during the tournament last year raised a few eyebrows. The one thing I'll say for it is it does point to a fact that you have a finite number of kicks at the can. And to make that work, you need to maximize this window, and these kids help do that. My only other question for you, because I don't want to tie you up all night here, do you think they'll have the space to make any move that would help? Like a guy like Bobby Ryan, who's making nothing this year just as a rental.
Yeah, look, I think that there's going to be an opportunity for somebody making nothing. I mean, yeah, there's going to be that. Are they going to be able to get, you know, somebody who's got a lot of term or a lot of dollars left? No, there's not going to be that. I've seen Hall come up a little bit. Like, the Hall situation's, it's kind of weird. He's only got 1 year. It's a one-year deal, obviously, and however much money is left when a team actually acquires him, that's all they'd have to pay. But let's be honest about Hall, Vin. Everywhere this guy has gone, what's happened? Like,
he's lost.
Nothing good happens. Like, it just doesn't. I mean, look, he won the MVP in New Jersey. I'm not saying that the guy's a bad player, but, you know, he went to Arizona last year. They did make the playoffs. Was he a huge contributor? Not particularly. He's done nothing in Buffalo, scored the first game. He hasn't scored since. I get the whole team stinks. But I'm not saying he wouldn't help, but he's got a little bit of bad karma with him right now, too. So that's the tough thing with me and Hall. Is there going to be somebody out there? Like, you mentioned Bobby Ryan. Honestly, yeah. Like, if you could get that on a cheap and it's something that you can fit in the cap and you're not giving up an asset for it, a good asset, hell yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of addition I'd make, especially to put, you know, in that bottom six. And maybe that's the, you know, slot him in. You know, with Pageau and Wahlstrom. And I just had this talk with one of the previous callers. You know, MDC kind of fits nice with those guys if the two of them are going to score. Because then you don't have to rely on him to put the puck in the net, and he does a lot on the defensive side.
Well, I think you're talking, you know, we're talking the same language here. You're looking at an upgrade with a little punch in the bottom six for the second power play unit. A guy that can rotate in and put MDC in that Kunockel role last year, where he's the 13th, he comes in for a little sandpaper, and then you've got somebody else when you need a goal, you got somebody else you can deploy for a game.
Right.
And a guy like Ryan, making the league minimum prorated for like $300K after the trade deadline,
yeah,
you could do that.
Yeah,
You know, that's about all you can do. You can't expect, and people need to temper themselves. You can't expect the Pageau move 2 years.
No. They can't do anything like that. They just don't have the wherewithal to make a move like that right now. I mean, they just don't. And I think, Vin, the other thing you want to look for, and I know that Arthur, that Staple had a lot of this stuff in the column he did in The Athletic on Monday or Tuesday, is a depth defenseman. You know, kind of like a similar situation what you did last year with Green, getting somebody who's going to be that seventh guy. Because the Islanders have been extremely lucky, as Arthur wrote. Nobody has gotten hurt. They have played all six guys every single game so far this year, and we all know that that stuff does not last. It doesn't last. So you need to have some depth there.
I am knocking on wood right now, but the one or two games where you have a guy like Leo that has to deal in, like Kunako from the bridge, like even Tanner Fritz who's somewhere, Aho, Hickey, they can hold the fort for three or four games, Mikey. I'm not worried, but like a long-term absence, yeah, you would like a 7th D who could actually eat minutes. You know, yeah. Arthur mentioned John Merrill because of the Lou connection. I could see something like that. We don't have a ton of assets, though, so it's really it's really interesting because you've got to weigh, you know, there's going to be a piper to pay this offseason. So you got to weigh what you're giving up now versus what you're giving up then.
This is the team, Vin. This is the team. The guys that you're seeing 100%. Now, this is the team. Any kind of ad is going to be a depth ad. There isn't anything, you know, can a depth ad help you? Of course it can. A depth ad can be huge, but it's going to be a depth ad. It isn't going to be something crazy off the page, that's for sure. But it's good to know that you're happy. I know that sometimes you are not. We've had calls in the past from you where you're not happy. So it's good to know that you're happy with how the team's playing. They've beaten everybody they've played except the Penguins since February 1st has rolled around. So they're doing pretty good, Vin. And this is a crucial week, as I explained earlier in the show, because you have to kick this team while they're down that they're about to face three games in a row. That's for sure.
I'll tell you this, buddy, before I hang up. Sitting down here on the beach in lovely Outer Banks.
Look at you. Now, look at you. How about that? Good job by you.
Got to sneak out when you can, bro. Going to look out on the ocean Thursday night. Hope to see a whale.
Yeah. No, I think he plays Thursday. I do. I think that Barry kind of gave you the hint before the game against the Devils that I do want to get him in there a little bit more. He knows he's going to get him in Saturday, Sunday. They've got the back-to-back again, and I do think he's going to play him Thursday, and he's going to give him a chance to play maybe twice, two out of three games. You know, actually, he'd play Sunday to Thursday and then again either Saturday or Sunday. So I think he's going to give him a chance to play three times in a week, which will be very interesting. I will say, I said it earlier, the Islanders' two best defensive performances of the year were both when he was in net, his two shutouts.
Oh,
because that game against Buffalo and the Sunday night game against Penguins, their two best defensive efforts were those. I can't count the Ranger game, Vin. He was in a bad spot that night.
Well, that was their worst defensive performance.
That was their worst game. You know, one of the worst games they played all year. But
in a couple of years, if we're being generous.
Well, like, they haven't lost many games this year, but a couple that they've lost have been pretty ridiculous. Whether it was blowing the 3-0 lead down in D.C., a couple of, you know, that weekend in Philadelphia where they probably could have won both games, ended up having to settle for a point in both of those. But they're still in a great spot. They've got a ton of regulation wins, and I feel like we never say that every year. I feel like every year we're always like, man, they're so far behind in regulation wins, they're going to lose every tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're getting all the regulation wins. So it's
good because they can't win in overtime.
But the good thing is, Vin, they're not even going to overtime. They're winning games. So it used to be in the past a struggle, and they're getting those ROWs now. So now it's our regulation wins. They got rid of that dopey ROW.
Yes. No ROW.
One. Go ahead.
Buddy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vin.
And do me a favor.
Yes.
Put in a call with Comp at the league office.
I will. Yeah.
Tell him to stop giving us Tim Peel three times.
Oh,
a week.
Man. Jeez. I'll tell you, Isles, their power play's been kicking. Said it with another caller. Their power play's been kicking, but man, they don't get any chances. Peel just
looking right at Green getting slew-footed tonight on the
and
goal.
Peel, he doesn't call penalties because you know that I'm dabbling. You know how I am with the gambling world, and trust me, when I'm playing power play point props now, I'm staying away when Peel's the ref because he doesn't call enough penalties. He just doesn't for me. So
he's putrid. But I digress. I just needed to give you something to compare.
Thank you, Vin. Vin from Brooklyn. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy.
My thanks to the callers for calling in, and we're going to try to do this once a month, as much as we can. It's one of the things that we have built always when me and BCOM started. It's giving the fans a little bit of a voice on the Aisle Seat podcast. Nobody in local New York sports talk radio is going to let you call in and talk about the Islanders. I know, I've been in that chair. They tell you no. So if you want to call and talk about the Islanders, Aisle Seat is a good place to do it. So hit the DMs on the Aisle Seat Twitter. Next time we do calls, if you want to get involved, shoot me a DM. We'll set it up, and the next time we take calls, we'll get you in the mix. But thanks to everybody for this episode, for calling in and talking about it. So coming up this week, we mentioned it a few times, 3 games with the Buffalo Sabres. This team is dreadful right now. 15 goals in their last 10 games. They look awful. My man Steven Valiquette, who of course does the Ranger games on MSG, Valley's View, absolutely hammered him in that Ranger post game on Tuesday night. I mean, he didn't hold back, and he was right. They not only do they look like they don't care, they're not even trying. So that's what the Islanders have coming their way for 3 games this weekend. Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. A beaten down, awful Buffalo Sabre team who can't wait to get out of there, finish the season already, and they got more than half to go. Who knows what's going to happen with Eichel? It seems like they don't care about playing for Kruger. Olmark's even gone, who always, seems to have these great games against the Isles. This is a recipe for stacking points this weekend. Isles need to get it done. This is a good spot for them to get right and to continue to get some distance. Got to stack points because everybody else is doing it against these teams. The Flyers whacked the Sabres over the weekend. When Washington played them, they beat them. You got to stack. The Penguins haven't even played Buffalo yet. You need to take advantage while you have these opportunities. Am I going to say they're going to take all 6 points? That's very hard. That's very hard to ask. You're playing a team 3 times in a row, as bad as they are, and as much as you've dominated them. Are you going to take all 6? No. But I'll tell you, 5 out of 6 is kind of a minimum for me. I think you got to at least win 2 of these games in regulation like you've been doing, like we just talked about with Vin there. And I think that you need to, if you lose one of the games, try to lose it in overtime or the shootout. Try to get 5 out of 6 points. Just be dominant like you have been against this team, because they're in a bad way right now and you need to take advantage. That's for sure. And then next week you get the Bruins again, and away you go. You start to get into March is just, it's nuts. You're a real bear of the schedule coming up here in March for the Islanders. But 3 games against the Sabres, you got more games against the Devils too. Big opportunities for the Islanders to get fat. So that's it for today. Thank you for the calls. We're going to get back maybe later in the week. Let's see what happens. If we have time after the game Thursday or early Friday morning, we'll try to do something. If not, definitely early next week when they finish off with the Sabres. And how about the Islanders are on? Yeah, they're national TV on Sunday. Hockey Day in America. NBC. Noon start. Big spot for the Isles. National game on big NBC. No NBCSN. They're on big NBC. They're on the big Peacock. So that's a nice spot. And that little national television angle for the Islanders on Sunday. No Butch and Brendan, which, listen, we prefer that. We prefer to have our guys doing the game. But still good that they're going to be on, get themselves a little bit of national pub, and maybe put a little beating on the Sabres while they're at it. So enjoy the 3 games against the Sabres if I don't talk to you before then. If not, we'll be back early next week. We're going to start to get some people involved. It's hard sometimes for me. No lie, guys. We're recording these things sometimes at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We're doing some late night Aisle Seat podcast here. So it's been a little tough to get some people involved, but I like having the callers. And I know a lot of you guys have said you like the quick post-game ones too, so we're going to keep rolling here. I'll talk to you guys early next week. 5 out of 6 points against the Sabres. Maybe a little good action from the White Whale. And Ollie Rocket continue to rise. Aisle Seat Podcast. My thanks to the people at Action Park Media. Always doing an outstanding job helping me out. Devin at Yes Men Outfit as well. Go and check that out. I'll see you guys early next week. Mike Carver, Aisle Seat Podcast. See you then.